and welcome to the Freaking Awesome Podcast. It is Monday, June 19th, 2017. I'm John Mbaya, and not joining me is my twin brother, Benjamin Mbaya, because he couldn't be here because he has other things better to do than talk about E3. But I'm happy to have him back, our host too, I guess. Yes, yeah, host.
Recurring guest and semi-annual or biannual. Host?
No, you've been, I think you've been, this year you've been at least two times on our episodes, our podcasts.
Two or three. So. This might be the third or fourth.
Yeah, yes. That, everyone knows the voice by now. It's our triplet, Seer, Seychelle, Abaya.
All you need to do to make that true is marry into the family.
Yes. Or one of your kids. No, never mind.
You want to have our kids get married?
Yeah, yeah, but still, you won't be a Abaya unless legally you want to. I never seen that before. If a family basically just, oh yeah, here, I'm totally for your whole family and takes the name and everything. Yeah,
yeah, I'll disown them anyways if they marry your kids. I'm just joking.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know what that means. We can talk about that later. if you're new to the podcast, we basically talk about the things we watch, play, listen, and read throughout the week. But this week, we're not doing that at all. Only the things that we watched, mostly trailers. Everything's a trailer talk this week on this episode because we're going to be talking about E3 2017 that happened last week around, I think, June 13th to the 15th. But it was like it felt like 8 days of E3 because everyone starts their press conference early now, and yeah, it's just totally mayhem. And if you don't know what E3 is, it's basically called the Electronic Entertainment Expo. They just basically talk about video games, the games that will be coming out this year, even next year, and maybe the next year, depending on what game they're showing. But yeah, so the format of this episode, basically we're Seer and I will just go back and forth picking the top three things that we thought was interesting at E3 this year. This year was different too in E3. Real quick, I just want to mention this. They had, what do you call those badges? The
you mean like public
badges? Yeah, public badges this year. So I heard it was very different. Seer and I never been to E3. Or have you been to E3?
No, I haven't been to E3.
Okay, yeah.
We've been to Comic-Con.
Yes, so
it's kind of like a video together.
And I heard this year, this one felt like Comic-Con where everyone's just waiting in lines more than ever. I think it was like an extra 15,000 people attended. I don't know how many usually that E3 has. Do you know the number?
No, I know it's usually just restricted to press and publishers and stuff like that. So when they open it up to the public, I thought it was more than 15. Near the hundreds or something like.
No. It was 15 only this year. That's why I'm wondering how many overall attend. Like because I think Comic Con's like bigger, like hundreds, right? Like that feels busy. So I don't know. But by judging by like the photos and videos I've been seeing online, it isn't as bad as Comic Con. Comic Con is really bad. I remember when we went there, we're just waiting in lines for like 8 hours, or not 8 hours, sorry, 4 to 5 hours just to get into one thing.
So. Yeah, everything was aligned. And I'm pretty sure at this E3, it's the same thing, especially since you're waiting in line for demos. It's not a ride that takes like a minute or whatever, that you're playing a video game demo that's probably gonna take like 10 to 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. So a long line will be made even longer just by the people that are at the front exhibiting the demo already. So,
yep. So yeah, so that's the format for this episode. Just sit back and relax, I guess, and listen to us as we talk about video games for a while. One thing, I'll just start off right off the bat. One of the things that I was really excited about is a game called... I haven't played the original one of this. I played the original one of this game, but I never played the newer version, the reboot version. And I'm talking about Wolfenstein 2, The New Colossus. I think that's what's called, the sequel.
Yeah.
Have you played the original?
You mean the original, like you? The OG?
Oh, no. the rebooted version.
I played parts of the New Order, I think, for just a little bit. But I couldn't get into it that much because of the aim mechanics. I don't think it had a left trigger to aim button. It's more
really?
Of a, it's oh, more wow. of like a Halo style, you know, how Halo was back then. mm-hmm. where it's just like freeform shooting. That's how the new Doom is too. That's why I couldn't really play that either.
So I never played any of those two, the new Doom or Wolfenstein.
I think their choice to make the controllers like that allows it to have a better, faster gameplay, like dual wielding or just having multiple things on screen, multiple things to do on screen at one time. So that's why they choose that control scheme. But to me, that's not the type of shooter I like to play. So I never really got into it. But looking at this new trailer for like the new Wolfenstein, the story alone makes me really want to delve into it because it seems like it has a nice amount of comedy in it, along with like, you know, the way the fact that they have a whole separate timeline of how the Nazi took over. I want to see where they go from that when they start reaching. Is this in more modern times now? It's not like World War II era?
I think it takes right after the first one because I hear that you start off in the game as a not. Oh wait, well, I don't know. Because you still play as BJ. I forgot his last name.
Blazkowicz.
Yeah, Blazkowicz. Still, but so I don't know anything of part one. So I don't know if he gets like what happened to his character if he leaves Europe. In this game, it seems like you're in America now, and that like the trailer in the E3, it started off with a Lassie parody basically, and then it's like someone changing the channel to different programs of what do you call that era? Americana, I think they call it back then, where. 1950s, I guess, where it was a wholesome America and everything, but then everything's in German and everything, and that the Nazi took over the nation, and they're really happy with the KK members wearing their uniforms out front. And yeah, it's just the trailer was really insane to me because, and the way it was cut too, it was like it's just going everywhere. Like one scene will be comedy, like you said, of like the seems like you're with a band of people that are resisting this new, you know, this Nazi regime in America and everything. And then I don't know if any of the characters were in the previous game. It seems like a lot of them fought. I mean, like they were fighting the war, but it seems like they don't know you that well, so you're like trying to become part of the resistance, basically.
Yeah, it seems like they're building a whole new faction for the revolution.
Mm-hmm. So I wonder how they do that. I like these type of games. Well, I like looking at them mostly, especially the story where they change stuff, even though, like you said, like an alternate history. And I like how, like Lassie, basically. I forgot what they called the dog. It was a robot dog too.
Yeah, it was something that sounded like a Blasty or Lasso.
Yeah, yeah,
something like that.
It was like a German word too, especially like the way it sounded like very German. But yeah, I'm just really looking forward to that one because I just love that you play in America. I kind of want to play the original one just to see how it felt and feels. If the control scheme is too, not difficult, but different for me, maybe I won't play as much. But yeah, I'm not used to first-person shooters. I'm mostly like Halo, and that's it, basically. The only ones I've been playing is Halo. And earlier this year, I played Resident Evil 7. So, that's nothing too difficult to like understand and everything.
Well, I'm looking at it right now, and it seems like you can aim down sights in like these Wolfenstein games. I don't know why, I just couldn't get into it. Maybe it was just too fast-paced for me, and I'm not really that great at first-person shooter, so I probably died a bunch.
I forgot what system. I'm assuming this is going to be an Xbox One. Yes, it is.
Well, PC Xbox for One. Sure, because, you know, but that's like a nice PC company.
Mm-hmm. And I heard like interviews with the creator of the game saying this is going to be a trilogy. So that's kind of cool. Like at least you know that there's an ending to this. I mean, I was kind of surprised they actually announced it because I always thought that it was like one and done, like Doom, basically. Just like they're just going to move on. But yeah, it's exciting that there's a sequel to the game. So what's your one of yours here?
Well, just first off, going through the conferences, a couple things that stood out to me. One of them was God of War. So this looks like it might be a reboot, and not just a continuation. I can't really tell because now instead of having the Kratos fight the Greek gods, this is actually set in Norse mythology, where he's going to fight Odin, Thor, Loki. I don't know any other than the Nordic gods. But apparently...
I don't know anything about God of War 2. It's one of those games I never played because I never owned a PlayStation. So, yeah, I'm, like, intrigued of what you're going to tell me right now.
So, I played the first three God of Wars that were for the consoles. But I know, like, there's two more God of Wars or something for, like, PSP. And I heard those stories were also canon. Like, they're supposed to be... I think there were prequels. But there's, they're also part of Kratos' story. Looking at this, I can't really tell if it is a continuation. Like, he looks older. He has a beard goatee now, so I guess that shows signs of age.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, and having, like, a son now, I don't know. I couldn't tell if it's a continuation of the story or, like, a reboot. Because either way, I'm really intrigued to see where they go with the series now.
In part three... Does it end in a way that, oh yeah, we're done? Or does it end like, oh yeah, we can still continue the story?
Kind of spoilers for part three, but at the end of it, Kratos kind of dies.
Oh, really?
Kind of? Because you can't, like, I can't really say. Well, they left it open enough to where he could be dead or he could not be dead. So.
Is it like a scene where his hand or his eye twitched and he's, oh, he might be alive? Or like that type of scene?
From what I remember, it was a scene where he gets stabbed and killed, and then credits roll, and then after the credits you see like a trail of blood being dragged. Okay. The body's gone, but then there's a trail of blood, you know, so either he dragged himself and fell off a cliff and died, or he somehow survived it and got a war
had sex
or
and
whatever,
had
you know?
A kid
quick time event to have a sex scene, and now this new kid is here.
They should literally start the game like that, where you're in what do you call that? Oh, God, I'm forgetting the word for it. When you're having the kid, but the time that you knew that you're having the kid, oh, God, I really forgot the word for it.
You have two kids and you don't know? Well, I don't know either, but...
It's constipation? Oh, God. The day, like, some
conception?
People remember...
Conception? Day of...
I guess, yeah, conception. The day of conception. Yeah, like, when you know exactly by doing the, you know, counting the backwards, deed. Basically. Yeah, yeah, which day you did it and what time and then... maybe it's in between those part three and this game. Is there I didn't look this up. Is there a second name to the game? Is it just literally God of War?
Yeah, that's why it makes me seem like it's a reboot also. Yeah, the name of the game is just straight up God of War. It's not four. It's not colon Son of Man or whatever.
Yeah, Son of Man. That's actually a good thing. Well, yeah. No.
Because, you know, it looks like the main... focus of this new God of War is that he does have a son. Mm-hmm. And he's not just a follower. I hear that you can control him. Like, if you're in battle, you can call him out to use him as range defense. So he'll shoot arrows or throw rocks at the people that you're fighting and help you out in battle a little bit. And during the storyline, the boy is useful to, if you can boost them up to climb ledges and stuff. And if there's like writing on the wall, you can use your son to help read or translate what's going on to
read.
That's what I've heard. Like,
huh.
Kratos is like, you know, the muscle bound dude who probably, well, it's in the olden days, not everybody knew how to read back in Rome, or only the most high rich people were like able to read. It seems like it's coming from something like that. So yeah, your son, it seems like it's not just a NPC, you know, it's going to be an integral part of the story, and it seems like the gameplay also, and that's what makes it so interesting. And just by the way everything looks, the graphics-wise, the PS4 seems like it's going to be pushing out a lot. It's going to be doing work to make this game look so good. And I heard that throughout most of the game, it's going to be like, they try to make the game like a single shot, like a one-shot, no cuts movie. So
what?
Yeah, flowing from cutscene to gameplay battle, it should all be one shot. Like, if talking to other characters, everything, it will be like panning around each character, and yeah, that's what I've heard.
I did not know that about this game. I'm really surprised if that's true. I really want to see this. Like, I'm wondering if it's catering to like the YouTube audience or like streamers where, or even YouTube where. So I basically like in video games sometimes. Like recently, I watched the cutscenes for the Injustice 2 because I played the game, but I wasn't like really into the game, so I just decided just to watch all the cutscenes back to back, and it plays like a movie, literally like a 2-hour movie that you can just watch. And I'm wondering if this game is basically like catering to that type of audience where, yeah, you can just sit back and watch the you know, nonstop action basically.
Yeah, well, because, you know, it seems like streaming is such a big deal now. Like, throughout this whole conference, streaming was brought out a couple times already. Not mm-hmm. just for streaming story-based games, but for, like, shoutcasting a multiplayer. Yeah, well, those multiplayer arena battle games and stuff like that. So, yeah, it seems like a lot of these games coming out, they're focusing on what's coming up in the future, and this is, like, streaming is going to be a big part of it. So they're either catering to it or at least putting in some sort of system in it to make it easier or more enjoyable to watch or do a stream. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't be surprised if this new God of War is extra cinematic just for that, you know, all those audiences.
I wonder too if the way I have to like look into it more, because I'm wondering how like the loading and stuff like that works in this game, because if it's like nonstop, I wonder how seamless it seems like in the game.
Yeah, but just not talking about the story, but like I said, I play all the first three console God of Wars, and just the gameplay alone, I like this version of an action game so much more than, say, like a Devil May Cry or something like that. Mm-hmm. Just something about the combo system in this and the brutality that Kratos pulls off just makes it so much more enjoyable to me. So just a continuation of Kratos' story. Yeah, I'm really interested, intrigued, looking forward to God of War. First thing I need to do is probably get a PS4.
Oh yeah, so I don't have any of the new besides Xbox One, and that's it. I'm interested, actually, should I play the previous God of War? Is it still holds up like those games, or are they like really janky now? Like
I don't know, maybe if you just look up the YouTube for the stories, like you've been doing for Injustice, if you just want to get the story of Kratos.
Okay,
but the gameplay, I think I played the remastered version of 1 and 2 for the PS3. And since I like those games, to me, they still hold up. But a lot of people seem to say that it is a little repetitive. It's just like kind of button mashing and killing, like those brawler games back in like Final Fight. It's just a lot of button mashing, killing everything on the screen. But I enjoy it, and the leveling up system is good enough for me to just keep going. So I don't mind the gameplay at all. So even with the new one, if they stick mostly to the old style, I'll still be fine with it.
The first game's in PS2, right?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. I have a PS2. I recently got a PS2, so I probably will check that out somehow.
You recently got a PS2?
It's not mine. We found it in our garage, and I think it's like Audrey's cousins, but they all have like, you know, a Switch and a PS4 already. So, I have a whole bunch of games, a whole bunch of Final Fantasy games and Kingdom Hearts games, and I'm not really interested in those games. And yeah, I probably will try to play, a God of War 1 at least. I mean, I can probably buy that for like $5.
Oh, that's awesome. Game. Maybe this Christmas you can get a GameCube.
No, yes. No, I actually have a game. Oh, never mind. I don't want to talk about the old games I've been playing just because I found all my old systems.
All right, so why don't you tell me something new about Nintendo then?
No. Yeah, so good segue. one of the things I'm excited about Nintendo, it's a new game that is coming out on the Switch. The fall, end of this year. It's the new addition to the Super Mario franchise called Super Mario Odyssey. So I've seen this trailer like a million times because it's one of my favorite franchises. Super Mario, Nintendo overall is one of my favorite companies, and anything they put out, I'm more intrigued and interested in than most of the publishers, like, you know, Xbox or Sony stuff. And when I saw this, I thought it was pretty cool. I thought it basically looks like I like the previous games of the Galaxy and what was before that? Sunshine, I think, is before that. Yeah. So this one looks like it's everything. It literally looks like they took all their ideas and all their worlds and all their mechanics or whatever, and just put everything in one huge open, kind of looks like open world-ish type game.
Well, it seems like the open world, that was it, Kong City, was it called?
Donk City? New Donk City.
Yeah, it seems like that's more of a world hub than a fully open world exploring, like GTA mm-hmm. style. So
I like in the Galaxy Part 1, they had or is it Part 2? One of the Galaxy games had a HUD type of area where you can just walk around and different, you know, if you open up, almost like the castle in Mario 64, basically. Or I guess all the Marios have them. I just realized. Or all the new 3D Marios have them, where it's like a HUD station and stuff like that. But this one's
even the older versions had the hub world where you're just moving from the map.
I guess they are considered the HUD world.
I guess it's part of the Mario charm. Well, not mm-hmm. charm, but you know, it's part of the game where there is a hub world. It seems like in this new one, the hub world is so much more fleshed out, and there's actual things that you can do instead of just go from stage to stage.
Mm-hmm. And then the mechanic in this game is basically your hat is alive and has eyeballs and everything. I don't know if your hat been alive your whole life, similar to like how Zelda's sword, the Master Sword, has a life. You know, they basically retcon that in Skyward Sword. So I don't know if this one's retconning like, oh yeah, it's been alive, it's just now coming to life, or he mistakenly accidentally took I don't know how, but a live cap of his, a little red cap, and basically,
if you eat enough mushrooms, everything starts becoming alive.
Right? Yeah, and the mushroom could. If this ends up like to be like just a really bad trip for Mario, and that's why he's imagining all these worlds and that Bowser's marrying Princess Peach, but I think Mario wants to marry her. I don't know. He has like a suit too, so I don't know. He wants to marry Peach too, or he just has a cool top hat and white whatever his white tuxedo.
The final battle ends in, like, divorce court or
something. Yes, between them two and which one will take the kids. Because, you know, Bowser has... Well, I don't know if that's a retcon, too. His little Koopalings and stuff like that. I don't want to talk about that, too. So the mechanic in here, too, is... so the hat. I totally forgot. So you basically toss the hat to an object. Not any object. It seems like certain objects that then... You become that object. I'm assuming your body goes inside the hat or something, and then you become the object. It doesn't seem like when you become that object, Mario disappears completely. It's not like his body is just staying still mindlessly and not thinking about anything. But it seems like, yeah, you just take over things. In the trailer, they show like you're taking over like the classic Mario enemies, like a bomb, that Mr. Bomb guy with
Bullet
the arms.
Bill.
Bullet Bill. my knowledge of Mario.
You're the best Mario fan ever, huh?
Yep. The turtles. Oh, God. Koopa. What do you call them? Koopalings? Oh, no, that's the Koopas, right?
They're just called Troopa? Koopa Troopers?
I guess true Koopa Troopers. You can take over human beings in New Donk City. I don't know what they do at all. They don't really show that part. He took over like a man in a suit, and I don't know what happened after that. I probably have to like look up video. I know there's like gameplay for that. And the video they show this realistic Tyrannosaurus Rex that's straight up from out of Jurassic Park, it looks like, that you take over, and I'm assuming there's like a dinosaur land or something like that.
That's just Yoshi in 4K.
Oh yeah. No, that would be awesome if there's a world where it's the land from the movie. I don't know. I'm calling this right now. I predicted the player unknown thing for Xbox, so I'm going to call this now, that there's going to be a world that takes place in the Mushroom Kingdom from the movie with John Leguizamo and stuff, and it will be like all gritty and stuff. Yeah, I'm calling that right now on this podcast. So when
DLC for the future.
No, that's not even DLC. It's like a hidden world. Literally, like you have to touch, I think in the movie you have to like touch the stone or something, and then Princess Peach gets morphed, or not morphed.
It's one of those hidden Mario things where it's like a secret warp zone.
Yes. But it will be like that rock, exactly that rock and everything. And you see, I don't want to talk about that movie too. I'm really excited just to play this. I don't have a Switch. This probably will make me buy a Switch, maybe Splatoon 2. 2 will make me buy Switch, and then I can play that and enjoy this. It looks like all single. Oh, no. I heard there is a co-op. You can be the hat, I guess, and that's it. And
yeah, I don't know. When the second player joins, they give you more control of the hat. So if you say throw it, I guess the second player helps aims it a little more.
Is it like the star in Mario Galaxy? Because that thing did not do anything. Like,
yeah, didn't it just like collect coins and?
Yeah. Like, you have at things? Well, there are times where I played it with my son. You can grab the enemies and hold them still, and then I'll be Mario and I can punch him basically. So I don't know if that mechanic will be in here too, and I don't even know what controller they're using. I hear you have to use motion control here, so I don't know about that for me.
Yeah, I heard that that's actually how you curve the hat in single player mode. You like twist your wrists or something.
Oh
like that
god, I don't know if I want to do this. I don't know.
Yeah, I was hoping Nintendo would get away from the motion controllers now, especially they have something that's portable. You don't you don't want to be waving your elbows on a bus and you might knock the passengers out. So. Mm-hmm. Maybe I heard there is a way to not use any motion controllers, but it's a little harder to use to control the hat movement. But they say there is a way to be completely motionless. But you know, it's just like how Splatoon is, like they give you the option to use motion controller for the aiming. Mm-hmm. Which it's really, for me, I didn't like it at all.
Nope,
but
same here.
Pro players, they die by it. They say that is the way you're supposed to play. So maybe you play a new Odyssey enough, you get into the groove and you'll be comfortable with it to be like, yeah, they did the right move.
Yeah.
Who knows until you get your hands on it.
Yep. So, that's one of the things I'm looking forward to. One last thing, I just wanted to say that I really like the Day of the Dead aesthetic they had in one of the worlds. It looks like everyone's a little skull guy and everything. Yeah, that's probably my favorite world I've seen in the trailer. That's it. Moving on, Seer, what do you have?
Well, sticking with our love of comic books and stuff, the new Spider-Man from Sony looks pretty awesome.
Oh, yes, I totally agree. It's probably the best video game coming out.
Spider-Man the video games has not been, doesn't have the best track record.
No.
The best one, according to everybody, and I kind of agree with the two, was like Spider-Man 2 I played it on the original Xbox, the OG Xbox.
Wait, that came out too in the OG Xbox?
I'm pretty sure I had it for that system.
Okay. Because I never played that game. I played the Nintendo 64 one that's really bad, that has like Black Cat. Oh, I don't know. It's just really bad game.
Yeah, I remember playing one for the PS1 also, and that at the time it was great because it was, I think it was one of the first Spider-Man games to come out. Not counting like this Maximum Carnage and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The first 3D Spider-Man, and just because it was Spider-Man, it got me interested enough to play it. And like I said, the reason why people love Spider-Man 2 so much was because of the swing mechanics. It made you feel like you're Spider-Man, the way you flow through the city. And the newer ones, they never got that quite right. But the way this new one looks, judging by, it only had like one really long demo and it didn't have a lot of free roam movement of the city. But when it was chasing down that helicopter in the demo, you can see how well the movement will be flowing from building to building, or just like swinging from building to building and running across them and stuff. It looks like, okay, this looks cool. It looks like they got back to the roots and worked on this, the important thing of getting the swing mechanics right. Because if you're going to play as Spider-Man, you're going to want a web swing.
Mm-hmm.
And going apart from just the swinging, the action looks really cool too. It looks like they're adapting that Batman Arkham style where you attack and counter as they go. And it looks like they're taking finishing moves in it too, where if you build up a high enough combo, you execute a finishing move or, you know, a incapacitating move to web somebody up and stuff. And those action sequences, just that, look really cool. So just the combat sequences is something that I'm really looking forward to.
I I'd never played any of the Batman games, so this is all new to me. When I'm seeing him do the combos and stuff in the trailer, I was like, oh, or the demo they played, and I was like, man, this feels so cool, like the way he figuring out what to do, like ahead of time too. Like when he like sees like one enemy in the other side, and you basically figure out what when to hit the other one and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, it's kind of cool the way it's shown and stuff like that. So this that whole thing was new to me, the way the combat and everything.
Yeah, the Batman combat system is like actually been adapted into a couple other games already because of how well it works. It's been used in the Shadow of Mordor games. The Sleeping Dogs adapted it. I think
games I never played.
Yeah. Okay. The new Assassin's Creed, I think, has a similar combat system. But yeah, I really do think that it's really one of the best combat systems to be made in these recent years. Especially for like taking out groups of people and not feeling like you're just swinging a giant baseball bat to clear the screen or whatever. Like, I think Batman called it free flow combat. But the way it works, it actually works really well. You should give it a shot when you can. Hopefully, when Spider-Man comes out, I know you're a big fan of it.
Yes.
It will allow finally get you into one of these combat-heavy games. And the way they're making everything look super cinematic, it just seems so awesome. I know the new Spider-Man movie's coming out, and we're going to see how that goes. But if that somehow doesn't hold up, it looks like this video game could be like the next Spider-Man movie, just playing through it. Mm-hmm. But it does look like it has like quick time events. Some people don't like them. I really don't mind it because during quick time events, everything that's happening on screen, it's just so cool to watch that I don't mind waiting for a button prompt.
But what if you miss it? That's what I'm wondering in here. If you miss, like, there's a scene in the demo where a helicopter's falling on the people and you have to stop it real quick. And it's a cool mechanic where the left and right is your web shooters. And he, you know, what if you miss that? Will they show a sequence of a plane crashing into people or the helicopter crashing into people? And they say, oh, game over. But, you know, it feels awkward sometimes when those sequences don't go well. So I'm looking forward to see how they handle that. So it doesn't seem like, oh, start all over. Like Tomb Raider did something like that where it just feels weird. When you miss a sequence, you just die and that's it. And then, no.
Yeah, a lot of people have that issue with QuickTime sequences, QuickTime events. But I think I've heard that it does just reload you to a checkpoint.
Okay.
But like I said, things like that, I don't really mind. Because when you do succeed, what's happening on screen is so enjoyable to look at. And that, yeah, I fail here and there. But when you finally get it, I'm like, okay, I'm rewarded with this awesome sequence. So things like that makes me really want to start getting into this Spider-Man game.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, no. So in the trailer, they showed the enemy. Do you know who is Mr. Negative in the?
Because I have no idea. I thought that was the shocker because he was like, shooting like things out of their hands and stuff.
So he's. I only read some of his stuff. Dan Slott, the creator of the writer of the current Spider-Man, used him a couple of times, and it's hard to actually know what the hell he is like. So he's called Mr. Negative because you could tell he's. He's an Asian dude that he looks like a negative photo, basically. But his power is, I don't know if it's, I have to look into it more. It's from his sword or something like that. And that's it. Like it's almost like a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde type deal. Like he can control it to a point where, so he doesn't become Mr. Negative. And, but he's considered like a D-list supervillain. He doesn't really do that much. So it's interesting that they have these like, a different rogues gallery instead of, you know, fighting Dr. Octopus right away. They go straight to Mr. Negative. And I'm wondering if they're going to do like a really deep rogues gallery, like other villains. Yeah, I'm just interested. I can't name one off the top of my head that's considered a D-list, but there are some really dumb ones I've seen when I don't remember their names that well. The costumes I do, but not their names.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this is just one of the earlier boss fights or whatever. So they're using the not so much as popular villains. They don't want to save the Rhinos, the Vulture, the Sinister Six, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
They probably want to save that for later or even for a later game. But if if they do how Batman did, they made the D-list character one of the main villains. I think in the second or Arkham City, they made Hugo Strange one the main bad guy of the video game. So if they do something like that, I'll be really interested because it'd be teaching me something about somebody that I wouldn't know so much about. More delving more into the Spider-Man background, so I'll be happy with that too. And it seems like Miles Morales is actually in this game. Yep, not necessarily as Spider-Man. Well, we don't know yet, but he's definitely in the game. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty exciting to hear.
Yeah, same here. So yeah, Miles is one of my favorite characters, and that. So when they did that trailer and the Sony thing, when I first saw it, they don't show that part at all. Like you have to go online to see the actual. What I seen, I don't know if it got cut off or anything. Like when I was watching it, I didn't see it at all, the ending. It just went straight to, you know, how they fade out of the trailer and then that's it. So on my Twitter, everyone just kept on saying Miles like that. I was like, what? And then I had to rewatch the whole trailer again, on the stream I was watching, and I still didn't see him. So then I found out, he's at a teaser at the end of the trailer. So I was like, oh, no wonder I didn't see this part of the trailer in this.
Yeah, same event. Thing happened here when I watched the Sony conference. They did some parts were missing. I think it was like a 30 seconds total.
Oh wow, really?
Footage that was missing from the stream. So yeah, you have to find the standalone trailer for the Spider-Man video game if you want to see everything. But yeah, that reveal alone, I'm like, okay, cool. They're maybe they have multiple Spider-Mans in this game too, because there is a Spider multiverse or something, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they'll delve into like part of that storyline to make things more interesting. But yeah, just from gameplay alone that was shown, I'm really excited about this. I really do need to get a PS4.
Will this make you buy PS4? Because this is probably going to make me buy PS4.
Well, this and God of War. Well, yeah. I was planning to get one soon anyways, but I was waiting to see what the new Xbox One X was going to come out at.
What did you call it? X-Block or Xbox? One X.
Xbox One
yeah.
X?
Yeah. Never mind.
You go back to the code name Scorpio. I can do that. It would be a lot easier.
It had literally three or... The X or Xbox One. Oh, never mind. It sounds like it has four syllables, the way we're saying it. Xbox One X. Oh, it does have four syllables. Never mind.
Let's just go by the acronym. Okay, the Xbox. X-B-O-X.
Yeah, yes. They should literally just call it the Xbox. Like
it basically does. It's like comes back to it. But so I was waiting to see what the new announcements for that was and see if I was either going to pick up a PS4 or upgrade my current X1 to a X1X. Mm-hmm. So I'm probably going to end up getting both. <I don't
know. laughs> No Switch?
Not at the meantime. That's on the back. That's the last place right now.
Okay. That's probably my first thing to buy because I'm going on the trip in a couple of months, so I want to test out the whole I could play on the airplane mode or whatever you call it.
See if you have enough room for your elbows.
Yeah we'll see. Southwest
with all the motion with all the motion control that you're going to be doing.
Oh yeah, I'll definitely play Splatoon 2 on a plane and everyone's like, what the hell is he doing? Moving his arms around and stuff like that.
So yeah, from the Sony press conference, I think that was one of the highlights. They ended it with the Spider-Man trailer, so I guess they were pretty high up on that also. But yeah, that's it for the Sony press conference. So your next thing is actually
another press conference.
It's not just a video game highlight. So tell me what you like so much about it.
So the one of the press conference they did, it's not even featured like in the highlight. If you go on like E3.com, you know, the top five are, what is it? Yeah, Sony, Microsoft, Nintendo, Ubisoft, EA, and oh god, I'm forgetting one more. Bethesda. I'm learning how.
Yeah, sure. I'll go with that.
Say the word, and I'll say it after you.
Bethesda.
Okay. I think I'm saying that right. It sounds weird the way I think. But one of them is a 50-minute press conference. It's from Devolver Digital. So Devolver Digital is a publisher. They're not a developer. They made games that I like a lot. They help publish this game called it's a mobile game. Why am I thinking, forget? Oh, Rain. It's called Rain.
Is it Rain or Risk of Rain?
No, it's or is it called Risk of Rain? Now I forget. It's literally like a card game venture thing on your mobile. Yeah, it was one of my favorite things of last year. that I really like. They do other games, and I'm actually on their site right now, and it's not letting me look at their site. Oh, okay, here it is. yeah, so they help publish Hotline Miami. What other games I played here? I guess I don't play a lot of their games. I like the look of a lot of their games that they publish. But yeah, so they had a 50-minute press conference. It was at E3. It was a tape conference, so it wasn't live. The conference, the best way I can say is like an anti-humor Tim and Eric Adult Swim type conference, in which they open up. I forgot her name. She is part of not Devolver, but another publisher. Dave Lang from? What publisher is he from? Or what
developer? Twin Galaxies?
Yeah, I believe she's part of Twin Galaxies. They're here because I don't know what's the connection between Twin Galaxies and Devolver, but there's a lot of reference to Dave Lang because they had it at the Dave Lang Memorial Center. They made it seem like he's dead for some reason. They literally showed his name and like his year of birth and year of death, 2017. So that was kind of odd in a weird way. And they open it up with her. I feel bad for not knowing her name. Talking about how, like, the industry, that we need more games and stuff like that. But then it gets really weird. Like, if you know about, like, how Tim and Eric, it's that type of humor where you don't know if you should be laughing or should be feeling, like, oh, this is kind of odd. I don't know why this is funny. Humor. but I enjoy it in the way they present it. It's basically just poking fun at how we do these conferences and how we're watching it. Because the audience members just kept on clapping and cheering. And it's these like B-roll shots that, you know, it's not from the conference. It's just people laughing. And then they'll repeat that scene all over and all over again of all these young people laughing. And then they actually had like a contest. Oh, not a contest, but they had like this new thing where you can give money to Devolver easier way, where you literally have cash and you throw it to your screen, and then the cash will be digitally whatever, like pulled into the screen, and Devolver gets the money. And you should watch what happens basically after that. If you can stay with that, then you might enjoy the whole thing. But it was just a surprising thing for me. They did announce one game called Ruiner. It looks like a cyberpunk, almost like Blade Runner type game, where you're in this, what do you call the type of games where almost like you're top down, but it has like a side view? I don't know what that's called, actually.
Isometric?
Yeah, isometric. Type of game where you're playing this guy. I don't know the whole story. It seems like you're trying to figure, you're like a hitman or something, and you're trying to figure out almost like a noir type of feel to it, but it looks cool. And that seems like the only game they showed in that 50 minutes, and they only showed the trailer for that game, and that was it. And then they go back to the woman getting really, like, not angry, but yelling and stuff like that. It ends really weird, like the whole trailer. I don't know, it was something that I thought it was really cool and just funny and just like out there for Devolver Digital. And I always had this thing in my mind that I always wanted someone to do this. I always actually wanted like Adult Swim to try to do this type of conference where they just get, you know, zany and basically and do it. And I'm just kind of happy that someone actually did it. And that's how it is. Like, it's just a 50 minute. If it was too long, I think it would be just too much. It was right, just right with the 50 minutes presentation, and yeah, that was it. I don't know. Have you seen it, Sir?
No, I haven't watched it yet. But just hearing you describe it, yeah, I'll definitely give it a shot now, because I actually like those, what you call, anti humor type of shows, like mm-hmm. what the Eric Andre Show.
Yep, that's one of my favorites.
Yeah, you know, well, basically anything that's on late night Adult Swim. So mm-hmm. this sounds yep. like one of those 2 a.m. shows that they're just going to put up out there, and it's only going to be showed once, and if you miss it, you miss it. Mm-hmm. One of those type of deals. So if you're saying that's how it was shot or how it was like portrayed, I'm like, all right, cool, I'll give that a shot. And if it's going to be about video games, that's just more of a plus for me to check it out.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. And I feel bad too. I read like news that the Devolver bought like this lot in front of E3, but they weren't the ESA are the ones who make E3 or help produce it, or how do you say that? Like they fund E3 basically. The ESA are the ones who basically give the ratings on your game. So it seems like they had like a weird thing where Devolver bought a parking lot for their show, you know, to set up their games. But I guess ESA didn't approve with the city to have it, so they didn't have anything at E3. So I felt really like bad for them that they had this cool, you know, press conference and they can't show anything for it. So I was like, oh, that's kind of sucks.
At least if the word of mouth gets around and they'll still get their audience online.
Yeah, definitely. I hope people saw that and said, oh, let me try these games. If you check their categories or their full, not lot, how do you say that? Category or catalog of games on their site. A lot of them are so different from one another. Yes, thank you. That looks really cool. And each one has like a different aesthetic that I really like. And they all, overall, they are considered like indie. So it's you know, just help support them.
Yeah, going through their catalog, there are a lot of 8-bit games, and I've actually played a couple of these. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize they were like Devolver Studio games.
Yep.
Like Downwell and Ollie Ollie. Those are great games to just pick up and play and try to get a high score. Mm-hmm. And it seems like a lot of their other games that are published are made for like fast-paced gaming, like the Serious Sam series is like those fast-paced action shooters and stuff. So yeah, I'm glad that Devolver Digital.
Yeah.
I'm glad they're doing something big out there because I like a lot of the things that they put out.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully, probably next year they have a 30-minute press con. So moving on, you have one more thing here. What is it?
All right, this is like going back to my high school days to when I was really, really deep into anime.
Okay, let's talk about high school and anime. How much in a scale from 1 to 100, 100 being I'm totally anime, 1 being it's all right. What would you be in that scale?
1 through 100?
Yeah.
Totally anime?
100? Really? You were like the 100 anime guy?
Huh. Yeah, my nose would bleed all the time when a pretty girl walks past.
Oh, God. Really? And you ate your food really fast that looked really yummy and scrumptious and everything? For me, I would probably put 50, I think. No, not even 50. Probably 40, 30. There's only one anime I watch, and it's the one that you were about to mention.
Well, yeah, throughout all the animes that I was like into, yeah, Dragon Ball Z was definitely one of the ones that I grew up watching and delved the most time into because, you know, the episodes are so long.
What time did it come on when you got off of school?
No, it was a Saturday morning cartoon for me.
Oh, really? So for me, yeah. I watched it at 3 o'clock after school every day.
Really?
Yep.
No, for me, it was like an early Saturday morning. It wasn't, It was like a 6 a.m. because I don't know why they put it up so early, but I would have to wake up stupid early just to try to watch this show. Or sometimes I will watch the Japanese version with no subtitles, not understanding a word, just because I like Dragon Ball so much. I just watched it in straight up Japanese.
Oh, wow. And you would even watch the filler episode? Well, you wouldn't know it was a filler episode. Me too. I never know.
No, I just watched it because everything that's happened on screen was cool. And mm-hmm. I remember that the Japanese version was the uncut version. So when I finally saw it in English and understood what was going on, I noticed that there were scenes missing from the English version.
This is Dragon Ball Z? I did not know that. I know Dragon Ball had it, but I didn't know Z did the exact same thing too.
Yeah, I don't know. This is just going back to old school cable days that I remember we found this Japanese channel on it. And like, I just started watching Dragon Ball on it. Growing up, finally watching the English versions, or even I rather prefer subtitle versions because you get to hear the original voices and still understand a story. But this is what I've always wanted from a Dragon Ball video game. There were other Dragon Ball Z fighters that were released previously, like the Budokai series, Tenkaichi series. Yep. But those fighter games were always like, they were too open. Everything took place on like a full 3D field where you can fly halfway across the world, and the other person will have to chase you with your like Super Saiyan fireball type of deal thing. But now this one, finally, they put it, it seems like they put it in a 2D plane, because it's made by Arc System Works, the people behind the Blaze Blue and Guilty Gear series.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I like those games, too.
I love the look of those games.
Yeah, well, I like a lot of fighters, fighting games, so anything that in the genre of a fighting game, I usually give it a shot to see how the system works. But playing Blaze Blue and Guilty Gear and being okay with those fighting styles, finally a real Dragon Ball 2D fighting game is out now. Mm-hmm. And the way it looks is awesome. I think it's a 3v3, so you'll get to play a lot of characters at once. And having all those characters that you love so much from the anime, finally having them in your hands and controlling them, it's like a dream come true. Like, and the way everything plays off on screen, it makes it look like an episode of Dragon Ball. And all from the world destroying, well, like spirit bombs or Big Bang attacks. Like during the game, footage I saw in the match, like Vegeta would do one of his super Big Bang attacks, and then the whole background would change. So, well, that's not something new, but then it's a good touch to add to continue along with the Dragon Ball series. But yeah, I just can't explain how much I can't wait for this game.
Yeah, when like that the style of the art, the way it looks like a moving cartoon when I'm like watching it, and I just love like it doesn't stutter or anything, like it doesn't pause or anything. It's just so fast, the movement of every character and the way they do the moves. I don't know, so I'm not like into like fighting games as much as you. But it seems like these moves replica the cartoon so well that I wonder how like devastating the damage will be for some of these moves, and how many times can you do that one move all over again and stuff. I mean, you are probably building up like a meter, and you could do your, you know, spirit bomb on someone. But yeah, I just the way I can just watch people play that and understand exactly what's happening, because they animate it so well.
I'm sure there'll be like 30 hit combos being pulled out left and right on the screen because of the, like I said, the way they animated the speed of the punches, like 10 punches a second or something like that. And that's how the cartoons are. So the scene that they put that type of combat into the game just makes it all the more exciting.
Mm-hmm. I feel like too, you know how the game is called Dragon Ball Fighter Z. I feel like they could have called it Dragon Ball Z Fighters, because weren't they called Z Fighters, the people?
Yeah. I don't know. The way the title is written, if you see the way the title looks, it could be that, or it could be Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Nobody's is saying it right. Like, I've heard it said multiple ways. So we'll see how it's going to be written out in like a publishing magazine. Mm-hmm. See what they title it as. But other than that, name aside, yeah, like this gameplay, I can't wait to get my hands on it.
Who are your top three people you play? Just by you, because you like the character and everything. I have one in my head already.
Top three?
Yeah.
Gohan, Trunks, and I've always liked Krillin for some reason.
Oh, that's because he was like a
human.
Too.
Yeah, just because he was like more of a human than anybody. Yep. But then he still like had enough fighting ability to be with the rest of the Saiyans and stuff.
Mm. I didn't see him in any of the gameplay, so I don't know if he's like, because they mostly showed off like Goku and what's the purple guy? Not that purple, the pink guy.
Majin Buu.
Yeah, they show Majin Buu, Cell, Frieza, Vegeta. I didn't see Krillin or like any of them human or quote unquote human fighters in the game. I seen Piccolo in there, so I wonder how they control too, or how they look too in the game.
Yeah, just from the characters alone from the Dragon Ball series, if they wanted to flesh out the character select screen, I'm pretty sure they have enough people to choose from. And hopefully they do put a lot of those smaller members of the group in there. Mm-hmm. Even like Yamcha and Tien, the bald dude. Yeah.
Who was the one, I forgot, was like a muscular guy that thought he was the best, but he wasn't?
Hercule?
Or is that him with Mr. the weird Satan? Goatee?
Yeah, Mr. Satan.
Oh, yeah, yes. They should have him. And I don't know, what's the best? Is Dan in Street Fighter like that too? Like he thinks, or no, I don't know. I don't know anything about Street Fighter, so I don't want to say that.
Well, it's a good comparison. I can see, like, yeah, Hercule being the Dan of this fighting series, mm-hmm. because they do have that boastful attitude, but you know, they're not the greatest.
Do you know if Hercule has powers too, or no? He's just like a human fighting, right?
Yeah, he's just a human fighting.
Okay, so I wonder, is Dan like that too in Street Fighter? I thought he has like fireballs too.
Yeah, but his fireballs are super weak.
Oh, okay. See, I didn't know that. My 3-2 I have to add is Vegeta, Krillin, and Majin Buu.
Oh, you actually pick a bad guy.
Yes.
Did you like him as a character back then, or is this?
I like the character cool? back then, and I remember as a kid, I used to say, how did I say it? Like Majin Buu, like something. I forgot if he says that in the cartoon. Like the way he says his name, I always found it funny. The character. He has like 3 transformation too, like the other one. So he's like a skinny dude and
Fat Boo, Muscular Boo, and the last one is Kid Boo.
So I don't remember Kid Boo for some reason. I remember Fat Majin Boo, and that's it. he's the one with the little, like, if he, no, that's Cell. Never mind. If he gets split up.
Yeah, Cell Juniors. Yeah.
I wonder if any of the women will be fighting too. It would be cool if you play as, I don't know who will be fighting.
Bulma?
Is she considered like a fighter? I guess, yeah.
Not really.
Oh, but she can throw like capsule corpse things.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. Like, if they make her like a tricky character, yeah, that's the way she can, like, that's her fireball replacement, just throwing capsules at people.
And they should have like guns. The pig from the original one too. The oh God, I forgot his name.
I don't know the pig's name.
Yeah, same here. And then one of his moves should be like him with underwear, like in the original Dragon. Well, that's how the original one ended, where he wished for underwear or something like that.
Sure.
Okay, you're like going to back me up on that. Okay.
No, because I really don't remember.
Okay.
I love Dragon Ball back then, but recently I haven't been keeping up with it. Like, I know there's a new series
called
Dragon Ball Super that's out, but I haven't seen any of it.
I
think I've just grown out of it, mm-hmm. but like this plays on my nostalgia. That's what makes me so excited for it.
And I won't be surprised if they show the new ones too, like from the new series to, you know, there are kids right now growing up with the new series and probably don't watch the old ones. Like I didn't really watch the original Dragon Ball until later on. Well, no, I did watch it a little bit. Then I watched Dragon Ball Z, but I never really got into the newer one. So it'll be cool just to see, you know, all generations of Dragon Ball. Maybe there'll be DLC too.
Yeah, hopefully if they choose to spread out the roster even more. Yeah, maybe bringing in like the GT characters, mm-hmm. and even like original Kid Goku or something like that. But yeah, I'm really excited to see where this game goes. Finally, a Dragon Ball fighter that plays like an actual fighting game.
Instead of like moving around the screen and figuring out, oh, what's the shoot button, or how did you get on that side of the screen, or
yeah, it seems like there'll still be like those tricky mechanics in there, but the way they're doing it, it could be just like the regular Dalsium teleport. Even though everybody can teleport in Dragon Ball, hopefully they'll make it like, you know, part of the combat system instead of something that you just use to get around the giant world that you're supposed to be fighting in.
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of cool because the mythology of Dragon Ball 2, you know, like how X-Men has like the danger, or Marvel versus they have like a danger room simulation, right? Like
the hyperbolic chamber,
yes,
I think.
Like Dragon Ball has that now. So it's kind of cool if they do like training mode where you stay in there. Like maybe if you stay there longer, you get more powerful and everything. I don't know. Just a thought.
Well, we'll see how they do things when the game finally comes out. I'm definitely going to be picking this one up.
Yeah, same here. And I hope, I kind of hope it's on the Switch, because if that's going to become my main thing. I feel like it can handle the Switch, or the Switch can handle this game, but, you know, Nintendo.
Well, you have an X1, don't you?
Yes.
Or you and Ben share. So I think this is, system. No, it's not. Okay. X1, XPC, and PS4.
Okay. Okay.
But it doesn't say anything for the Switch at the moment. No. I think you're going to be out of luck. You might have to just play this on the Xbox or your PC.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well. That's what every Nintendo person, you know, consumer say. Oh, well, I guess next time.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, okay. Is that what you're going to do? Fair enough.
Yes.
Can't do anything else about it.
I only buy Nintendo games. Yeah, so that was our little mini list of the six things that we thought was really cool. To run down, I picked Mario Odyssey, Devolver Digital Press Conference, and I totally forgot what the first one was.
Wolfenstein. Wow, you loved it so much that you do not remember talking about it an hour ago.
You'll see in 6 months where I don't even talk about that game at all. I was like, oh yeah, that was okay, and then I'll be playing Dragon Ball instead.
My list was loved God of War, can't wait for Spider-Man, and Dragon Ball FighterZ, Z Fighters is definitely going to be on my playlist in the near future.
Mm-hmm. And I hope, we both have Xbox One. If I buy that game, maybe they'll have like a clan type thing and we can make our own Z Fighters clan and work out.
Yeah, take over the world or something.
Yeah. They should have a mechanic where you find Dragon Balls online, where you fight people, and then the enough people you fight, you get a Dragon Ball. And basically. But
what do you think the reward will be for collecting all of it?
That's why. What would you like it to be? Oh, like a super, super Saiyan. No, then the people will get mad.
Then the balancing will be all off. And then we're like, oh, you're just fucking playing just to collect these Dragon Balls to be overpowered?
No, it would be just costumes then. Like, you can get.
Glowy haired Goku instead of beat up Goku,
or you know, half blood on his cheek or blood coming out of his mouth Goku that you see sometimes with one arm hurting, he broke it earlier in the episode or whatever.
You remember all that. Yeah, actually things like that will be great. Hopefully they do it, like incorporate the Dragon Balls in something, and yeah, have a not a story mode but like an adventure mode or something to collect all of them, and have a nice good reward for people who want to put time in collecting it.
Yep.
We'll see.
Yes, we'll see in the future. That's our episode, everyone. Last time I tried to end an episode, I did poorly. Sorry for Amy that I didn't do well on that. I don't know did you listen to the episode at the ending of myself?
I don't remember it ending poorly. Okay. It sounded fine to me.
I was super nervous when I was doing that because Ben literally just left in the middle of it and I had no notes up. I had nothing. He literally just told me, so for the listeners, this is some behind the scenes. He told me during the recording, I have to lead. I have to do something. And I was like, okay. And I had to like quickly find my notes like I'm doing right now to find the ending of our podcast, you know, all the little things that we say at the ending. And I found it. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I hope you enjoyed. Where can they find you, Sir?
If you'd like to, you can follow me on Twitter at 5Ears. That's number 5, EARS.
I really appreciate your Twitter. I feel like it's so unique. And I feel like, what'd you call that? It's so short.
I just wanted to keep it short.
That's the main thing. It's so short. I was like, man, that's such a good Twitter where I envy people who have like only like 3 or 5 things. I mean, I have 6, but still, I feel like mine's long. Ben is super long, and you can check him out at Benjamin or Baya or underscore. I think underscore or Baya. I'm not sure now. I don't want to go on Twitter right now and just try to find him. I think it's Benjamin Abaya. You can check me out at Abaya Arts on Twitter. Ben also has an Instagram. You can check him out there. Benjamin Abaya. Just search Benjamin Abaya. You can find him anywhere, I think. You can check us out on Twitter too at TFA Now. We mostly just post random stuff from people that we like, from places that we like. The episode. You like us on Facebook too at The Freaking Awesome on Facebook. If you have any questions or comments or anything like that, you can contact us at contact@thefreakingawesome.com. And that should be everything, I think. Any last words, Sir, before?
Well, happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there.
Oh, yeah.
And if you're in California, it's stupid hot right now. So stay safe in the sun, drink water, and all that good things.
Yes. Happy Father's Day to you, Sir.
Thank you.
Yes. Well, this should be like a dad podcast or episode. Why did we pick E3? It's like
over our children. What do you mean?
Like we talk about just life and about dad stuff. And well, E3 is like it's a hobby that we do while sometimes watching the kids while the wife is out and.
Right? If you want to start your parenting podcast, I'll be gladly to join in that one too.
I kind of want to do one, but I don't know what to really talk. I mean, there's probably like thousands of them online. So
yeah, there's only so many ways to beat your kids.
Yeah, right? Yes. How did you know that I would be talking about? There's this way. No, which one's the right way? Where the bruise? No. I don't. Bruise. Codeine. What you call it? Violence against kids. That's wrong. just joking, guys. Don't call. What do you call that? Not the CNC.
Child Services.
Yeah, Child Services. CNC. The CDC. Yeah, call them. You can call the CDC, but not Child Services. I love my kids. They're great. I don't do anything bad to them. Besides getting mad when they forget to do stuff like wash the dishes and stuff like that. Yeah. But yeah. Thank you, Sier. I'm John Avaya.
And this is Sier Say Ciao.
And that was the Freaking Awesome Podcast. Peace.